Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Later Days. This is episode 3, and it is coming out on a Tuesday. Now, you may be wondering why this is coming a bit later when I said very boldly last week that I would do this on Mondays and Fridays. It is because I, like many people, had a great weekend in which I did absolutely nothing. And sometimes having that weekend is pretty good. Other times, when you have a podcast to post, it can conflict with those schedules. So I do want to apologize about this podcast coming out on a later day, but I did want to still stick to my two podcasts a week, primarily on the bookends of a week. I really want to talk about something different this time. Before, I think the previous topics I've talked about, you know, sequels in my last episode, and then I talked about nostalgic films and the level of comfort that they bring us in today's day and age, both for filming and gaming as well. And I've not yet talked about specific genres, actually. So that's something that I think I want to explore more with this particular podcast. And I know that for today's episode, for all those people out there who get a kick out of watching either the most insane, nail-biting, nerve-wracking psychological thrillers, to those who are, and you know who you are, very big fans of buckets and buckets of blood and gore, either in space, traveling through time, or set in modern day eras. Today I'll be talking about horror film. And with horror films and games and other media, they represent, it's an interesting genre. Up until recently, I honestly didn't have too much exposure with horror. What that means is that I never pursued watching horror consistently or consuming content related with horror. To me, I feel more affected, I would say, from images or the plots or just the general vibe of horror films. Unless it's something like, I want to say, like Scary Movie or Scream, where like the genre itself is sort of satirized, then I can understand, like, okay, so it's like a horror film, but it has elements of like either comedy or drama, or there's like a thriller aspect to it that I can side with. You know, previously I've watched a couple of horror films with my sister. Whenever I go back to Austin, we always tend to watch horror movies whenever we go out. So I think the last few times we watched Sinners, we watched Final Destination Bloodlines, and then we watched Alien Romulus as well. So interesting theme. And I believe they were all at Alamo Drafthouse or AMC. So maybe there's a connection there. But with horror, I will say that I am becoming slightly, I wouldn't say a fan, but I would say I understand the genre and respect it a lot more than previously. Not that I disrespected it, but I just really didn't understand what was the point of watching this kind of content. Because with horror, right, you know, it's the imagery, it's the feeling that it places viewers in, right? So when you're watching an alien stalk crew members in space and you don't see the alien until it's quite too late and it is poking holes in places where holes should not be poked into, that can be considered horrific. When you have a very funny looking doll in a abandoned haunted house and it starts to do things and it starts to make things happen for a couple or a very nice family who have moved in to that house, you get struck by the images or by the soundtrack, by the way that sound and the plot mix together to really elevate scares, jump scares, or the violence or anything like that. You know, that's what gives horror its power. But it wasn't until recently that I actually have started, somehow on accident or coincidentally, I've started watching more horror films, that I've begun to understand that, like, it's not the violence, it's not the over the top gore, it's not even the soundtrack, it's the fact that horror, and this is not anything new to anybody who is familiar with the genre, of course, but I thought that these past few movies that I've seen have kind of painted this point a lot more. It's that horror is at its very base more effective when it's realistic. And how are horror movies realistic, right? So horror movies are realistic, of course, through the things that I just mentioned. You have a very nice family who moves into an innocent looking house. You have a kid who picks up a doll who thinks it's just another plaything. You have crew members in space, right, who are exploring these unknown regions and doing really stupid things that scientists shouldn't be doing, like, oh, there's a big, you know, alien looking slimy thing. Let me take 3 steps forward and try and touch it, you know? So I'm sure we've been in that scenario where we just literally yell at some of us are on the side of the alien. Let's just put it that way. But even in those scenarios, right, even with the most outlandish settings and characters and plot points, the thing that makes horror so interesting and intriguing and above all terrifying, absolutely batshit terrifying, is the realism that it has, right? And even in those scenarios that I mentioned before, like even if you're part of you're watching a space crew and, you know, in outer space, and you're thinking, well, this can never happen. Of course, it's horror, but it's not like realistic horror. Like, I'm not going to get terrified, right? That's why you have things like blood, you have gore, you have different situations that perhaps mirror real life or modern day times. With movies such as, and this is a big one, if you haven't seen it recently, it's called Weapons. Weapons is a horror movie that has come out recently, about a couple weeks ago. I actually was not, in full honesty, despite me watching together about a couple weeks ago, I'd seen images and trailers of Weapons, and I really was not looking into it. I mean, I didn't really hear of anything. I just heard it was super good, and the sound design was amazing. But I wasn't really interested in watching it, just because, you know, it seemed like it was one of those movies with jump scares and imagery that would stick with you for a long time. And it wasn't until actually my sister, we were talking, and I swear, I don't know how this always happens, that whenever I talk to my sister, I always end up watching like a horror movie or something like that. And we were talking one day and she was like, well, you know, of course you've seen Weapons. And I'm like, well, no, it's a horror film, right? I don't want to deal with that. And she was like, well, okay. Like, I don't think we even spoke much about it. And then afterwards, I was like, you know what? Let me do a double feature. And, you know, I watched Weapons and The Bad Guys 2. So Bad Guys 2 is just, FYI, it's a animated kids film about talking animals who used to be bad, now are good. So, you know, if you ever do a double feature, that's what I do. I always do like a little palate cleanser of sorts. And, well, back to Weapons, right? So Weapons is a film that I'm going to say it didn't make me a huge fan of the horror genre itself, but I will say that having now become a little bit more mature in whenever I watch movies, in the sense that I'm able to recognize, like, for example, romantic comedies, I'm able to recognize like other films, that genres that I may not have been interested before, but I'm, you know, watching them and seeing some parallels between those and like action films that I watch. With Weapons, I found it to be a very, very well-made film that effectively used its genre to touch upon points that otherwise other types of films and other genres would naturally touch upon. So for those of you who may not know, Weapons is a horror film about 17 school children all in the same classroom who wake up at around 2:17 a.m. one night, and they leave their houses and they're not seen again. The whole mystery is around why these 17 children from this particular classroom have disappeared. Parents are angry and all the attention is on the teacher. The teacher is played by Julie Garner, who is having quite a year. She was in Fantastic Four as the Silver Surfer. She played the wife of the title character of The Wolfman in earlier this year. And she's also known to fans as part of the Ozark cast. I have not seen it, but from what I can tell, she did a really marvelous job portraying that character who's not without any controversy, but she is portrayed as a good person. Like, she's trying to find also like what's happening with these kids, what happened with these kids. Josh Brolin plays one of the kids' fathers, who is very determined and is very outspoken in what he wants from this investigation. And the film is very, as a whole, is very, very well made. The genre horror is being used in this particular case too, in concern of the very people who we hold close to ourselves. I'm not a parent myself, but obviously the film, if I was a parent and I was watching it, I would be very terrified, right? Because it is concerning kids. Kids represent innocence. They represent people who are not yet fully aware of how the world works. And I will say that the way the plot is carried out and the way the scares are also interlaced with different plot points is very impactful, I would say. I think for the entirety of the movie, I think it runs over 2 hours, I was completely locked in. I was in a complete trance, and I was completely mesmerized by the way the director and the script carried the story along. And I think the director, Zach Cregers, who directed The Barbarian, is a movie that I may or may not check out in the future because his work here was amazing. The director has clearly stated that there's no, like, you can read into meanings of films, right? So, like, you know how I was talking about earlier, where horror has a particular meaning for, or like, horror can represent something that is in the real world. The director has gone on record to say that, well, he doesn't. These are all just images in his head that he kind of formed a story around those images. And the director used this movie as a way of channeling his grief over the death of a friend, of a very close friend that he had. That's where horror really gets most of its energy from, right? I mean, we have the adrenaline, right? We have the scares, we have the blood, we have the images that just pop in and out, and you're like completely, scared away. It didn't happen with me because I had actually a cap, so you can know when these moments are about to come in, and you use your cap, and I use my cap to basically cover my eyes and just not pay attention at all. With horror, there's two sides of the genre, right? There's the scares, and then there is the redemption. There's the way out, the light at the end of the tunnel. And the way that this movie goes about its story, the light at the end of the tunnel is unexpected, but it makes sense. It's earned. And I think a lot of us in the theater, I watch this in a packed theater, and I think with this particular film, it's good to watch with others just because, I mean, for me, I go alone, so I watch these movies and I'm like, okay, there better be a huge crowd because there's no way I'm watching this horror film by myself in the middle of a theater. That's absolutely insane. But no, I think everybody did a really, great job. I think every one of us in the theater, I could tell, like, there was, like, when there were silent moments, there were extremely silent moments. There was not even a peep from us. I'm describing this entire experience because for me, I think this movie makes a very good case of how horror can be effectively portrayed without too much use of blood and gore and guts. Now, I will say that there are some moments, of course, in the movie that are, very bloody, very grisly. I don't remember too much because, again, the cap on my head helped me. But I think when it's not used as a way of propelling the horror forward, I will say that a lot of it rests on the psychological effects of the different plot points and how the mystery, it's a mystery film, I would say, but the secrets that it uncovers, I think a lot of us can relate to themes of, I would say, belonging or innocence or the trust that we have in others. I think it's a movie that will be rewatched dozens and dozens of times by film goers. I personally may not watch it, of course, again in the short term, but I feel like this will be a very good movie for a movie night or for talking with others and seeing what they get out of it. I gotta say, like, this movie is the one that I think is making me recognize how impactful horror can be. And before I wrap this episode up, I do want to talk about the other thing, the other movie that I saw, which is The Bad Guys 2. The Bad Guys 2 is, like I said, a film that is about talking animals and about how they used to be bad guys and now they're good guys. And coming out of the weapons, I have to say, yeah, the film, the screening that I was watching, or the screening of The Bad Guys 2, was filled with like a bunch of kids. They were like laughing and giggling, and I think it was much needed just because like I just seen like little kids being possessed. So I was like, okay, I want something light and refreshing. And it was very light and refreshing. I think it's a movie that if you pair this with a movie like Weapons, it kind of makes you recognize its impact a little bit more. I think the animation was very well done. The plot was just moving along at such a nice, comfortable speed. It was just under 2 hours. I really didn't feel like it was going to be 2 hours. Also, confession, I had like a bunch of chicken tenders right before the movie. Horror makes you hungry, I guess. And I promptly fell asleep several times towards like the last 45 minutes or half an hour. And definitely missed some parts, but the parts that I was awake for about, I want to say, like 70% of the movie, maybe. And I thought it was a really solid film. I think when you're thinking about what I mentioned before about sequels, right? I just came out of an original horror film that has done really well, and I'm now going into the screening about a animated sequel based on existing IP, right? There's that kind of sense of irony that, I'm watching films from like two different eras almost. But that's the thing about film, right? You can choose. You get to choose what you want to watch. And I think for me, I had a really fun time watching both films, and they're definitely great crowd experiences. I would definitely recommend you guys watch them, and preferably on the same day, so that way you don't get nightmares about kids running off into the wild. You instead get dreams about wolves driving Dodge Challengers across pyramids. I don't know. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Later Days. As always, I will try to post on Mondays and Fridays of every week. This Friday, I should be able to make the goal, so I'm gonna come up with something fun that we can talk about, or that I can talk about and you can listen to. But until then, you guys have a great rest of your week. Enjoy every day that we have, or that you have on this earth, and look forward to talking with you guys again soon. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.